It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski will visit with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Underwriting for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And listeners, you know there's so much to celebrate regarding Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV, KRNW, trust you had a great May and, like you, are enjoying the warmer and drier weather. I am pleased to welcome you to the June edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. Segment one will focus on the Missouri Star Quilt Company based out of Hamilton, Missouri, and we'll talk with Small Business Persons of the Year, Alan Doan and Sarah Galbraith. In segment two, we feature Karen Fromm, a Northwest instructor in the Department of Nutrition and Dietetics, who will discuss the department's outstanding program, not just for students, but for our community as well. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Alan Doan and Sarah Galbraith to All Things Northwest. Sarah and her brother, Alan, grew up on a small farm in Cowgill, Missouri. Sarah has established herself in small-town development, both in terms of real estate and planning. Retail and merchandising have both become specialties of hers. She's raising five kids with her husband, Seth, and currently resides in Kingston, Missouri. Alan received his Bachelor's of Science in Information Systems from BYU Hawaii, and he has spent the last 5 years working exclusively with startups and on startup ecosystems. He lives right in downtown Hamilton, Missouri. He says it's for the nightlife mainly. Alan and his sister Sarah are co-founders of the Missouri Star Quilt Company and were recently honored as the nation's Small Business Persons of the Year by the Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. Sarah and Alan, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Honored to be here.
Well, it is a real pleasure. Obviously, you know, you've got star power from the Small Business Administration. But let's go back in time. Growing up in Northwest Missouri, talk about your childhood and how that set the stage for where you're at today.
Well, we were actually really lucky. We moved out from California, and we moved, to, like you said, to a farm, and it was just awesome. We have the best childhood. My mom was one of those ladies that no matter what we were doing or what hardship we had, we loved it. It was exciting. It was an adventure. And so, we moved here, and we just loved the small town life. The boys could go fishing. It was just so different from what we grew up with, but we loved it, and we... You know, they had little festivals. Our little town was, just great. I had a job when I was 15. You know, I worked at, there was two different restaurants in town that I worked at, and this town just seemed like it was just, had everything. It was this little town that had everything. And, we loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
Well, and that, obviously set the stage for where you're at today. I'm going to fast track it to the birth of the Missouri Star Quilting Company. The background is fascinating about how and why. So for our listeners of All Things Northwest, can you talk about how you started the Missouri Star Quilting Company?
Yeah, in 2008, we were trying to get mom a little extra income, and so we bought her a quilt machine, one of those big long-arm quilt machines, and thought she could maybe make an extra couple of $1,000 a month by quilting for people. And that was the birth of it. That was all we ever expected it to be. We thought mom would have this little extra thing on the side. And then in 2008, when that recession hit, I lost my job. My dad's work was downsized. You know, all of a sudden, this little entrepreneurial experiment we were trying on the side became very, very important to us. And so that was sort of the birth of how we got here. we've never taken outside money to grow this or anything like that. It's all been very organic, where we put in, you know, you put in our first $2,000 of fabric, and then we sell that, and you sell it for $4,000. And we went and bought $3,000 worth of fabric and sold that for $6,000. And, you know, we're continually taking, you know, about 75% of what we bring in, everything except for that one-third cost of goods, and put it right back into the company, which was important because, you know, I mean, in the beginning, we couldn't afford to pay any of us salaries. Nobody got a paycheck. We all just sort of showed up and did the best we could. And eventually, you know, about 2 years into it, a company was born that could even pay us money, which was pretty great as far as we were concerned.
Well, as we talk about quilting, I know, Sarah, you have the skill set in the quilting side. Alan, you've got other skills, entrepreneurial skills, the business acumen, et cetera. So you had a confluence of skill sets that came together. And from a listening point of view, you know, when you think about all the negatives associated with the recession, layoffs of your father and so on, but in some ways, those helped shape the company. So talk about the confluence of skills. I mean, Sarah, with your quilting ability, Alan, with your skill, did you guys see that early on and said, wow, we've got something here, or did it kind of happen organically?
It's actually really interesting because, you know, we all have different talents, you know, or our abilities. And like you said, I loved working with fabric. I loved color. I loved mixing prints and putting things together. And, you know, I would pick fabric and say, here, Mom, make something out of this. And she would look at it and think, what? That looks crazy. And then we would put it together, and it would look great. And I fell in love with that. And then, you know, of course, we started selling what we call pre-cut fabric that different manufacturers would cut, and loved it because it had a piece out of the whole line. Because quilting really was, a lot of people just use, you know, 3 to 4 colors or 3 to 4 different prints. And so it's been fun to kind of see it evolve where you're mixing more and things like that. But, yeah, it is very interesting. You know, Alan's strong on computers. I had the sewing background. Mom taught all of us girls how to sew, and when we were kids, and so yeah, we kind of came into it that way.
Well, and we have one other partner that's in with us, Dave. And Dave, I mean, Dave's really good at product and marketing and all that stuff. I'm really good at the tech side, the internet stuff, and Sarah's taking care of most of the operations here locally. And you know, when you think about it, if we tried to do this with just one of us or as a single founder, I think, you know, maybe we could have done it and just hired the right people. But for us, we didn't have the money to hire those people. So we sort of had to have the right mix in that co-founding group that could go and be great. The other awesome part of that is that you're not doing it alone, you know. So Dave dies during tax season. He's got all the finance stuff, and that's when he doesn't sleep. I don't sleep when we launch a new website, and Sarah doesn't sleep all summer when people are coming to visit. And so between that, like, we all sort of have a good life, but we have our busy times as well, but it's not every single day. So we've been able to stay sane by having great partners, which is awesome.
Yeah.
What a tremendous confluence of skills there. And, you know, can you guys describe for our listeners the business, your customers, your products, your services, revenues? I mean, when you go talk to the Small Business Administration and you receive those accolades, you know, how would you describe your business from an elevator pitch point of view?
Yeah, we sell pre-cut quilting fabrics. What that means is we take fabric that people would normally go and shop for, and we have it cut in predetermined sizes, so like 5-inch squares or 10-inch squares, 2.5-inch strips, and we sell packs of those, which are sort of the Lego blocks of quilting. And so when you want to make a quilt, it doesn't take 3 months to make it anymore because we've taken the cutting out of quilt making, which is, well, a lot of the cutting, which is, you know, when you make a quilt, you don't want to be cutting, you want to be quilting, you want to do the fun stuff. So we've accelerated the ability to just do the fun stuff, which is pretty neat. And then we also have another side of our business, the machine quilting. So after you've made your quilt, you can mail it in and we'll quilt it for you. And then we have this in-town experience where you sort of make your trip to the big quilting destination. You know, if you're in quilting, you have to come see what we're doing in this town. And so that's sort of the big offering that we have. You know, some of the interesting things about our company, we ship between about 2,000 and 5,000 orders a day that go out of our warehouse all over the world. And, you know, we're in the business of selling fabric. That's most of what we do. We sell fabric and the scissors and notions that go along with it. And then teaching people to quilt. So it's a, you know, it's a big education play where if you Google how to quilt or brand new to quilting, anything like that, that's where we want to show up in those search results. That's the important keywords to us. And so we're trying very hard to be that influence that grows our industry and teaches more people how to use these Lego blocks of quilting and how to have a great experience with that. The revenue stuff is it's an interesting beast to grow a physical retail company, right? Because we're growing 1% to 200% year over year since our inception, if you can imagine that, and with some years of extreme growth in between there. And so being able to, growing a company that needs us to order actual products by 200% every year, it's pretty intense. The numbers and spreadsheets we have to stare at. But, there's a big opportunity if you do it well to come into an industry like this and really be leaps and bounds above your competitors just by being really good at data.
Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest from the campus of Northwest Missouri State University right here on KXCB Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. I'm talking today to just two prolific entrepreneurs, no question about it. They worked for and started the Missouri Star Quilt Company based out of Hamilton, Missouri. That's Alan Doan and Sarah Galbraith. Alan and Sarah, the story is incredible about, you focus on fabric, you focus on partnerships and people, but you're also in the education business. I understand that you've developed some YouTube videos. So, Alan, as you're mentioning Google, you can Google, how to quilt, and all of a sudden you've got all these YouTube videos. So education is part of that. Talk about your business plan from the beginning, but how it's changed since then.
Well, that's actually pretty funny. We started, like Alan mentioned earlier, about having mom just quilt on a quilt machine, which people would bring their quilt cups to her and she would machine quilt. And right after Alan got laid off, we started, let's see what we can do. And Alan thought, he looked online because his world is tech, right? And so he looked online and there was literally, nothing out there. And he thought, hey, let's do this. Mom, you want to do tutorials? And my mom's like, sure, honey. What's the tutorial? She didn't know. That wasn't her generation, right? The internet.
Yeah, at that time, YouTube was all of a year and a half old.
Yeah, YouTube was just a baby. And so we took that and just started. We literally shot videos with a handheld camera, and Alan would just sit there and, and he was the tripod. And it was really cool because, really, we kind of pioneered that, where it was really the industry hadn't gone that direction at all.
What was awesome about it is because I was filming, too, I got to say to Mom, you're using words I don't understand. Like, you don't have to talk down to me, but use different verbiage so I can understand it easier. And she'd be like, oh, my gosh, yeah, totally. And so what we ended up with was a product where anybody could watch it and understand exactly how to make a quilt, which, is completely different than anything that's been in our industry before. So that was a big advantage for us.
Well, we appreciate your mom, Mama Doan, as she is well known. But, talk about the business plan today, though. It's far different than having Alan be the tripod, I would suppose. Now you're a whole different company.
We're 185 employees now in this town of 1,800 people. And, part of that is our video production side. We have social media side. We have, our marketing department and then all the product buying and stuff. It's evolved into an area. This has been interesting from a management perspective because neither Sarah or I are trained managers. We're not great at that. And so we've had to, as our roles have shifted, we've had to train ourselves on how to be better at what we're doing. So, it's still a great place to work, and you come in and we continue to grow. If we would have just, expected ourselves to be perfect in every way, we'd be pretty crappy managers and have a pretty miserable culture here, I feel like. And so, that's one of the big things for us is as we grow, our business plan is to create a company culture where people have the autonomy to kind of create success in their own world. So hiring the right people, getting really smart people to come and work next to you, and then saying, hey, here's the parameters, here's the constraints. Now let's go be creative inside of this and come up with something really great. And we have some phenomenal people with us that are doing just that. And, the next year, we're all in on quilting. I have no idea what we'll be doing in 5 years. Honestly, we're not good enough. We're not good enough business people to have that vision of what 5 and 10 years looks like. But we can look a year ahead, and we know exactly where we're going for now. And we just drive as hard as we can, and every day try and take advantage of those opportunities as they come.
Well, I know Dave is a partner within the business, but Sarah, can you talk about working with a sibling? How is it to work with your brother?
People have actually asked me that And I think about it, you know, when we were growing up, my mom was one that we weren't allowed to hold grudges and be mad about silly stuff. And so she would really made us work it out. And, you know, as a kid, that was the most annoying thing, you know, sit on the couch till you guys work it out, talk to each other, you know. And honestly, that's helped us so much as adults because, you know, there's going to be disagreements and I'm going to do stuff different than he does. And the huge benefit is that we learned as children to work it out. And so we can talk through anything. And, you know, we're not hurtful, but we can disagree. And, yeah, that has been, I mean, really, it's our upbringing, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be able to disagree and know that eventually we'll come back to it. Just, you know, we just need to keep talking and we'll get back to where we...
Yeah, we're really good at talking things out.
And it keeps you grounded, man. It really does. You can't get a big head when your sister can still punch you right in the face.
That's right. That's right. That's great. Well, my understanding is that you work with Rebecca Evans from Northwest Missouri State University's Small Business Technology Development Center. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, well, we engaged with the Small Business Administration when we needed a loan to build our warehouse last year. Or about 2 years ago now, we were trying to move out of our 5,000-square-foot warehouse. We needed a 45,000-square-foot warehouse. And so we used the SBA to help facilitate that loan and help, you know, sort of get us a jump up to where we need to be. And in the process of that, we were able to engage with some of the other Small Business Administration tools and support they offer. And they've been great, man. They're very, very supportive of us, very excited about our story. It's very helpful in anything that we need to sort of figure out, you know, the goofy tax code and stuff like that. Like, they have people that they're able to connect you to. It's been very helpful.
That's tremendous. And recently, I believe you were at the White House. You received that national recognition, the Small Business Persons of the Year formal ceremony. Can you kind of describe that ceremony?
Man, that was a really cool thing. We were standing there, and you know, they called all the finalists up, and so we were kind of just standing against this wall waiting to get our award. And as I looked out at that crowd, you know, I realized we're in this room full of people that, you know, they're all worked hard. They're all entrepreneurs. They've all been where we've been, and it was just really cool to be among you know, other business owners that have been working just as hard as we have. And we feel. You know, it was such an honor because we weren't, you know, any more deserving than anybody else in that room. And so just to kind of be among people that understood where you've been was a really cool experience.
There's no doubt about it. On behalf of listeners and really all those from our rural communities, we thank you and congratulate you for that. Let's talk about that. You're based out of Hamilton, Missouri. You know, Hamilton, Missouri, as you guys said, small town. You have now a booming company, if you will. How can other towns follow suit in terms of growth and development?
Well, it's hard because we've created an industry that is relevant. The important thing to consider is if you're living in a small town is that the goal is not to recycle money. If I give you $100 and then you give me $100, we're no better off. I mean, we're sort of in the same place. We could have just kept our $100 and stayed at home. You know, so creating businesses that just sort of recycle money inside of a community, it's not, you know, you're not doing the area a ton of favors. So come up with something that's worth bringing outside money in, where outside money, people from out of town are going to come and visit, come and spend money, come and invest in your community. That's what I would look for if I was going to start over in one of these towns.
Well, Alan, I think that's well said for rural communities and what we're trying to do to uplift Northwest Missouri and obviously our entire region. Sarah, as you reflect on the path backward and the path forward, what's been the most fun thing in developing the business?
Honestly, working with family. That has just been such a cool thing. You know, it's been, you know, it's a roller coaster, ups and downs, but being and caring about something that you do every day with people that you love has been pretty much the best thing.
And Alan, how about you?
Yeah. You know, there comes a point in your career where it's no longer about the money or about the title or anything like that. You're just choosing who you're going to spend your days with. Who do you want to work next to and invest the rest of your life with? And it really is. I mean, I wake up every morning and work with my mom, my sisters, and my brother, and my best friend, Dave. And, like, we all get to talk every day. stay in touch and then be creative and come up with new things. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better life than what we've got. We feel very, very blessed.
Well, All Things Northwest listeners, you can tell that Sarah Galbraith and Alan Doan, Small Business Persons of the Year nationally, get it. And they bring it, and they add such great value to our region, to our country, and well beyond with their huge business successes. Sarah and Alan, congratulations on your success. We wish you the best for the future, and thank you for joining us here on All Things Northwest.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we return, we'll visit with Karen Frum, head of the dietetics program here at Northwest Missouri State University. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCV Maryville, KRNW, Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center. Celebrating its 75th anniversary, CRHC has been providing health care in Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri since 1939. More at clarindahealth.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. United Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the location of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ueci.coop.
Welcome back to the June edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Chasinski. We'll now visit with Northwest Missouri State University instructor Karen Frum. Karen was born in San Jose, California, moved to Maryville when she was 11, but a great story. Met the love of her life, her husband Jeff, at Maryville High School, graduated from Northwest, and of course then set off with her husband Jeff as he started a career in the United States Army. Karen earned her bachelor's degree from Northwest, obtained simultaneously her master's of science degree in foods and nutrition, and completion of the dietetics undergraduate in the coordinated program at Kansas State University. The next 15 years, Karen and Jeff kind of moved around every 2 years, but invaluable experiences we'll hear in just a few moments from Karen as she had new dietetics positions really throughout all of those moves. In fact, as I was doing a little research, it held positions, successful dietetics counseling business in Canada, directed the nutrition program at a large Head Start program in Monterey County, California, worked as a cardiac rehab dietitian, served as a nutrition director for a large school district, director of the Leavenworth County Women, Infant, and Children Program, nutrition and health specialist for the University of Missouri Extension Program. She's taught adjunct for Kansas State and the University of Kansas. And by the way, she's active in her professional associations and received numerous awards, serves as an advisor to the Northwest Student Dietetics Association. So obviously, the varied background experiences Karen brings to the table, very, very important. Karen and Jeff have had their three children attend Northwest, two just recently graduated. Karen joined Northwest's faculty in 2009 and serves as director of the didactic program in dietetics. Her passions include her faith, family, people, learning, artisan bread baking, her berry garden, health, running, weight training, and life. Karen, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you, Dr. Zinski. It's great to be here this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure. Dietetics, what is it, and how did you come to choose the profession?
It's such a good thing to ask, what is dietetics? Because so many people go, what? So basically, it's the science of nutrition. And so our students have a very in-depth background in lots of chemistry, biology, and then science in itself, math-related degree. And how did I choose it? I think it chose me. I was here in my undergrad, and Miss Mitch, I was in her food science class, and she told me, no one has ever made an A in my class. You should be a dietitian. I thought, what is that? I never knew anything more than that. Started in my 20, when I was about 29, I was at K-State and thought, or applied to go to grad school at K-State for foods and nutrition. And they said, you need to become a dietitian if you're doing this. And I thought, what is that? So I looked into it and thought, oh, yeah, this is definitely what I need to be. And a registered dietitian has, they have to complete a field of study or accredited program is what I should say, a didactic program in dietetics or an accredited coursework. And once you complete that, you get what's called a verification statement. There's some other things associated with that. But you have to apply to an internship. And these are accredited programs also after graduation, which is really odd to parents that will call me. What do you mean they have to do an in? It's almost like a residency, a hands-on residency. And this lasts, it's 1,200 hours. It could be anywhere from 6 months to a year long. And they're all over the nation. So our students here at Northwest apply to these accredited internships throughout the nation. Nationwide, about 52% of those really qualified candidates that apply get accepted. Right now, Northwest, we're at about 80% of our students that apply get accepted to these internships. And then after the internship, you receive another verification statement that says that you can sit for the national exam to become a registered dietitian. So what does that do for you? Once you earn the credentials RD, they did also kind of update the credential. You can also be an RDN, which is a registered dietitian nutritionist, so that we also have that nutrition. Because dietitian or dietetics is kind of foreign to some people, it gives you that, oh, nutrition. So like Dr. Jasinski spoke about all the areas that I've worked in, there's not many areas you can't work in the field of dietetics. You can do management, you can do leadership, you can work clinical at a hospital, you can work all age levels, whether it be pediatrics, the gerontology and everything in between. You can work, especially with your master's and doctorate, you could go on and work, teach at university level. You could do food service management. There's just so many things that you could possibly do. I've actually many times started a job just because someone said, hey, could you? And I said, well, I could contract with you.
Right. Well, Karen, obviously the field is very broad and very diverse and growing. For our listeners, can you talk about why dietetics is so important to society in our future?
Great question. Many people know our nation, and it's unfortunately spreading throughout the world, we're seeing a lot of obesity issues. And it's not so much the obesity, but the diseases that are a part of, once your body becomes obese, there's an inflammation process that starts. You could start building heart disease issues, issues with stroke, issues with type 2 diabetes. That's the issue. When you start becoming overweight or obese, you become more apt to develop these diseases that could cause you death. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
So nutrition is the backbone or the kind of the groundwork that you have to have nutrient-dense food so your body runs well. It's like putting really cheap gas in your vehicle. It sputters and spurts, and you put really good, it runs and it zooms, and that's how your body wants to feel with great quality nutrition.
And I should mention to our listeners, as we're prepping for the program, we asked off-air, Karen, what you have for breakfast, and here she says steel-cut oatmeal, mango. So, you know, practicing what she preaches, basically. We're talking with Karen from runs a dietetics program here at Northwest Missouri State University. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. Karen, I outlined the array of dietetics experiences that you've had in your lifetime, which those professional experiences obviously help our students out in a pretty significant way. But how did all those experiences help shape your work as director of our program and your interactions with Northwest Missouri State University students?
I think for our students, which I'm so appreciative of them, I know people always say this, but we have quality students. We have great students that are so interested in the outside world and what the profession is and lives that they can touch, whether it's on campus or off campus or wherever the future takes them. And so when they can hear the 15 years before I worked in this profession and before I came to Northwest, and I'm teaching them and I'll start talking. I was talking to him about one time when I work with Extension, I work with a male prisoner population, and a young student came up, Mrs. Fromm, I didn't even know you did that. How did you know? So I don't even realize this wealth of information and these things that I've done, that it's so real to them. Instead of just being academia, I came here, I did my doctorate, which no disrespect to those that have done that, but I had the precious gift of being able to be in the outside world. And I've traveled, whether it be in Canada, the West Coast, the East Coast, middle of United States, I've been in a lot of different places. Well, a lot of times I was the minority. So I'm able to share this with the students, and I think they gain experience. And I tell them, you know, it's been a few years, things have changed, but these are the things you can do. And every 2 years I moved, I started a new job. And frankly, I was frustrated. And I thought, why? Why? And then I have a strong faith. So I believe the Lord brought me around and he said, this is why. And he brought me to Northwest. And I believe it's a gift and a blessing I can share with the students. I did that. Oh, yeah, I've done this. And now they see little snippets of all these little things that you could do, and that the sky's the limit. You choose what you want to do. You don't have to just do clinical, which is a wonderful area. You don't have to do just women, infant, and children, which is another beautiful area. But there's so many opportunities. Don't be narrow focused. Look at everything possible. And if nothing else, chart your own path.
Well, you indeed have been a gift and a blessing to Northwest Missouri State and our students. Now, I arrived here in 2009. You joined the faculty in 2009, and our program has changed. I mean, it has grown, and it has changed, and we've recently gone through reaccreditation and all that. So as you think back to where the program was in 2009, for our listeners' sake, what have you done? How have you accelerated and grown the program?
I think there's been a lot of wonderful gifts that have been given to our program. One is, I think with change, often you get the opportunity to evolve. And from top down, such as yourself, provost, dean, chair, everything has changed since I've been here in the last 6 years. And then with that change, I believe I've been able to gather real support from those. Not that I didn't have it before, but they were all kind of new to the university or new to their program. And they saw that I have this passion and this energy for this field that is really growing. And I think USDA just sent out and talked about top new professions for grads. And one is about foods and nutrition. And we're definitely that. So I believe with that support and my passion, and we were able to bring on another instructor 2 years ago, Mrs. Kelly Wilmus, and she's very passionate about it too. So between the two of us, I believe word of mouth gets around and people hear that this is a viable program. We've had a beautiful modernization of our foods lab. It's stainless steel, and it's up and coming, and it's bright, and it feels like you're out in the real world, as in the updated equipment. So with all that, and again, the support of from, you know, yourself, Dr. Jasinski, to our chair, to our dean, everyone is just very pro helping the program grow. And we went from about 20, 25 students. We have 90 undergrad and probably about 7 to 10 minor, so about 100 total, and so we've quadrupled in the last 5-6 years.
Well, it's really on that growth pattern, and there's no doubt that, you know, it takes strong faculty, strong mentorship. Obviously, students are being attracted to Northwest for this program. What attracts a if a prospective parent or student is listening right now, why would they have interest in the program here at Northwest?
Again, I believe it's word of mouth. First of all, for me, if you come to this campus, I left, graduated in 87, left, came back, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the most beautiful campus I've ever seen, that there was really some forward thinking. So for that, I believe people are really drawn. Most of my students say this is honest, you can get the didactic program in dietetics, an accredited program anywhere. There are 2 or 3, 4 in the state of Missouri, but you have to choose as a student, where do you fit? What do you want? Our class sizes are around 25 is what we say, 30 max, that there's a lot of passion and personalization, that you're not a number, that you're a name. A safe, loving community, the campus support, you know, student success every day. We're, you know, we really believe that and live it. I believe word of mouth gets out. And students here, and again, there are wonderful programs throughout the state of Missouri and you know, other states, but that student has to find what fits. Many of them will say that they are family members of Northwest alum, or their sibling went there, so they had to come. And like I said, some will stay in our program. Some will find it's very rigorous. They have to have a very high grade point to stay, to be competitive for the internships. But we just help them find something else that meets their needs here on campus. And other people will come in from the biology or education department, realizing that they have this love and for science and nutrition. And so sometimes they're sophomores before we get them.
Well, I think it's so important for our listeners of All Things Northwest to hear that, Karen, as you talk about this being the field of the science of nutrition, high standards, and by the way, not only a growing enrollment, but retention, graduation, and ladies and gentlemen, we talk about placement rate, placing students out into further education or into the field. And as you're hearing from Karen Fromm this morning, we'll all note that there are a lot of fields that dietitians, nutrition experts can go into and really meld into their communities. So Karen, you just went through a reaccreditation process, very rigorous process, very successful for the program and for Northwest Missouri State. Talk about that, because it's a stamp of quality for the program.
Yeah, we're an accredited program. Like I said, there are others. To be a didactic program in dietetics, and for a student to, they not only earn a degree here at Northwest, they earn what's called a verification statement. And I, as the director, verify that they have met these standards. And for here at Northwest right now, we say a grade point of 275, and in about, I think most of our upper level nutrition courses, they have to have a B or better. And that's all stated in our handbook. But the students also know that sometimes they can't reach those grade points. So again, we work with them to go other places or other majors. But their reaccreditation, it's a 10-year, well, it's every 5 years, but the site review is every 10 years. And so we had three professors from other institutions that came. We have 24 standards that we have to meet. And to meet those, to stay accredited, they come to our site, and they met with graduates of our program. They met with students, current students of our program. They met interdisciplinary staff, faculty throughout the campus that work with our students. They met with our administration, they met with our student support, and they really looked through everything that our students receive, and does it meet their requirements for accrediting the didactic program in dietetics. So it was about a little over 2 days that they were here. We received word back. We had a few things. They wanted a few more information, but I remember seeing the words exemplary. That made me smile, and I'm very proud of what myself and Mrs. Wilmes and the support have been able to do for these students. And yeah, we're a small staff with a lot of demands on ourselves, so being able to get that exemplary and that we are right on track, and they actually really challenged us to put even more. They wanted us to improve our goal and our future, because they saw so much more than what we had set, and they wanted us to even make them a bigger, brighter goal, because we were already telling them that. But they said, that's not good enough. Give us some good goals. Write it down, because we see that you can accomplish that.
And we'll talk about the future in just a moment. I do want to make sure that we articulate how our dietetic students impact Northwest, the Maryville community, and beyond. So can you give some examples of how our students are engaged and what they do to help our communities?
Yeah, thank you. I love bragging about the students, so thank you for giving me that opportunity. The students they, part of their application process when they apply to go to these internships is they really like for them to be able to document 300 hours of volunteer work. And there's no set stone that you have to do that, but that is something that we strongly suggest. So they start as freshmen, sophomores. When they begin the program, we really get them to do that. So they work with the Manna Kitchen or Chow. Those are places here in the Maryville community where people can go all walks of life, and you get a free meal and you get good conversation. And so they work with that. They work with the Ministry Center. This fall, we will have our fifth annual 5K fun run, walk to raise money for Backpack Buddies, which that money goes directly for students in the Maryville School District that may be at risk for not having enough food. We do National Nutrition Month celebration. We put up information. The kids will go teach. They'll on and off campus, whether it's the Senior Center, St. Gregory School has been a great support for us, letting us use their students. The Lead Center, the students work to do a snack menu planning and management program. They just started a summer school program at the Lead Center, and we have students that volunteer their time to manage and run the food program during the summer. Volunteer, that's a lot of hours a week. This year, we're going to do the Intercultural Festival in October. I'm so looking forward to that. And our new RD here at Aramark on campus is a past alumnus of Northwest. I'm so glad to have her, Miss Kendra Quick. So she's going to work with us on that. Every other year, we have the Friday Night Cafes, which are sellouts due to the great support of on and off campus community members. We have the community center nutrition presentations. It's wonderful. Even our athletics have reached out to our upper level dietetic students, and their athletes are wanting to know whether it's gain weight, maintain weight, whatever their nutrition need is for them to be a better athlete. The coaches have reached out, so our students have taken those on. So we're just about everywhere, I think. And people ask, we really try to meet their needs in the community on and off campus. We're finding it's a great situation to be in, but sometimes we find out there's not enough of us to go around. So I'm having to say no more often than I want to, but we're still trying. We're trying to meet those needs of on and off campus.
Well, you talk about service, and listeners, you think about a dietetics program at a university like Northwest Missouri State University. Karen, what you just described shows the impact of our students and their experiences, but also helping out the young, the needy, the older generation, student athletes. I mean, it really ranges across so many fields. So that is just tremendous. Talk about the future of the program. I mean, strength right now, it's grown. A lot of good things going on, exemplary in terms of, you know, outside accreditors looking at the program. But I know you have plans and dreams, so can I talk about those a little bit?
One of the greatest things that Northwest has been, I mean, a lot of things that you've done to support our program, but we were able to do the Individualized Supervised Practice Pathway, which is an alternative or second chance for doing an internship. Because they're so competitive, we thought even if our students are excellent, then they should have an opportunity. And it's a lot of work to even get in and do this. But we can accept 10 per year. And I think we've only had this 2 years. And in the last 2 years, we've had at least 5 of our Northwest grads go through the program. But we've had even more. We've had students from Ohio, from the state of Washington, a couple from Kansas City. So we're really starting to get that. So we hope to get that off and running better. We're still in its infancy trying to get the best out of that internship. I would like, personally, I want to see increased ethnic diversity. I want to be the campus or the place that be like, the diversity. We need that. We feed off of each other. We need to have minds that think different, that have backgrounds that are different than ours. So the dietetics field right now is majority probably female and Caucasian. So we're really trying to grow. We do have probably about 10% of our enrollment is men. And then we have some ethnicity, but I would love to, and I've talked to some that work in the building diversity and ethnicity in majors here on campus. So they know I'm trying to find ways to build that. whether it's get out to the high schools, whatever it needs to be. I'd really like to be the university that is kind of seen as that. Continue to improve facilities. You've said that. We've actually looked at with our creditors that were here, our site review team, they would really like to see us have a hands-on nutrition assessment lab. So that's, we've already got the equipment looked at and we're trying to build that. And I think by fall 2016, we will have two assessment labs where the students will do even more hands-on nutrition focused assessment. And Mrs. Wilmes is really excited about that. Those are the courses that she really sinks her teeth in and does a wonderful job. The other and last thing I'd like to speak about is the dietetics field is really evolving, and by 2024, to become a dietitian, it looks like you'll have to have your master's. So we said we're not going to be behind, we're going to be forward thinking. And so we're really looking at how do we develop a master's of science program in foods and nutrition and maybe tie that into our dietetics internship. It's all going to come to fruition. It's a matter of how and keeping ahead, not behind. So we're really focused on getting that. And actually, we wrote that into one of our goals with our accreditation is we're really focused. That's where we want to go, because if that's where the field is going, we're going to be there. We're going to be in the top running with everyone else.
Karen, obviously, strong program, prolific growth, but some pretty interesting plans for the future. Not surprising whatsoever. Let's close this way. Listeners of All Things Northwest, they're sitting at home thinking about nutrition, dietetics. What kind of advice can you give to our listeners to help them focus on better health, better nutrition?
That's a great question. I think the biggest thing that saddens my heart is when people jump on that bandwagon of the new diet or the new, you know, oh, did you hear? And whatever helps jumpstart, if you have a weight management issue or if you have a health issue, but really look at the quality of the food that you're taking in. Is it nutrient dense? And you'll say, Karen, what does that mean? Well, you have an excellent resource at Hy-Vee, Deanna. She's there. She's a dietitian. She will work with you to get you through the grocery store and show you. Many people will say eating healthy costs a lot of money. Have you ever thought about growing your own garden? Or they have, you know, I think it's Wednesdays up at the Mary Mart Center. They have the local, if we all can get into our gardens, I don't know. It's been so wet lately. Mm-hmm. But anything like that, I think just focus on the nutrient dense and portion sizes. People eat way too much. And the biggest thing for me is move. I just move. And I know some people have issues that they can't move, their mobility is somehow compromised that they can't, but there's always a way, whether it's doing some strength training in your upper body or, you know, is there a swimming pool access, you know, whatever that is, maybe you need to find that resource of that person can show you how to be physically active. And then watch your portions. That I think that's just a big thing. People eat huge amounts. I don't know. And I think we think whatever we get at the restaurant is a portion. We know better than that. So really nutrient dense, wash your portions and keep moving. Those are simple, so simple to do. It doesn't cost you anything.
And that's listeners, whether you're at, you know, in Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, go to your local store, use the resources that you have there. But also take the advice from Karen, from the head of the dietetics program here at Northwest Missouri State University, and think about those portion controls, being nutrient dense, and bottom line, act healthy, get out there and move. So Karen Fromm, thank you. Thank you for your service to Northwest Missouri State University. Thank you for your leadership with our students. We've done such good things over the last several years, but more to come. So thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Alan Doan and Sarah Galbraith from Missouri Star Quilt Company in Hamilton, Missouri. They are the Small Business Administration's Persons of the Year nationally. And also thanks to Northwest Missouri State University instructor and director of our didactic program in dietetics, that's Karen Fromm. Thanks, too, to KXCB General Manager Rodney Harris for his work in helping plan our program, and to Brandon Travis, a student here at Northwest and our program's producer. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, Northwest Missouri State University, KXCV KRNW, and public radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More on Facebook at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Noley. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.